This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Have in your head.
Nirvana, she even likes Madonna. Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports here on Fesco Dusty with Mac as well. Domino's, they get mentioned a lot in the Turnpike Troubadour songs. If you're not familiar, get on it. If not, no worries. But in sports as well. Matthew Stafford seems to be that domino that needs to fall before everything else can happen.
Is that the number one move that has to happen this offseason for anything else to take place in the NFL?
IMO. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I'm thinking about it right now. Like, once Matthew Stafford makes his decision, then everybody else can kind of jockey of what they want to do, right?
Because Matthew Stafford has been the topic of this offseason, at least in my opinion. I know there are others, and we'll get into them, because the tush-push, people want to get it, you know, banned, which it's
what
not.
What a lame story that is.
It's the Packers. Yes. It's the Packers that are bitching about it, and they just keep tweeting, a sourced team says that they are dude.
It's Green Bay. Yeah, like, stop, man.
We know who it is.
I guess I don't understand why we've gotten to this point in the NFL where if we can't stop something, we stop trying to stop it. We try to change rules. Like, that's peak 2025. Get out there and be better at it. Try to figure out a way to stop it. Go out there and do something different and eliminate that play on defense.
They made the playoffs easier for people to try to beat Patrick Mahomes.
That's what I'm saying. They changed kickoffs.
And then what they didn't realize is that it's actually helping Patrick Mahomes. It's like when Tiger Woods won the Masters by a gazillion strokes, they then Tiger-proofed the Masters, and all these other guys are like, dude, it's already hard for us. Don't make it harder. He's just going to keep winning, as he did.
As he did, like, yeah.
But no, Matthew Stafford, I think, is that first domino. Because I think if once Matthew Stafford goes, then we'll figure out where Aaron Rodgers goes, and we'll figure out where Russell Wilson goes, and we'll figure out everybody will start to kind of, like, set up. And then by the time all that's over, you'll have free agency and the draft, and then everybody will know what.
Guys, free agency begins in 2 weeks.
That's right.
Woo!
That's right.
Like, 2 weeks from, I think 2 weeks from yesterday is when the legal tampering begins, and then 2 weeks from tomorrow is, you know, when everybody technically signs. Like, I think March 12th is the first day of the league year, and that's Wednesday of 2 weeks, like two Let's weeks go. From tomorrow. Yeah. Because they have the combine this week, and then we have the week off, and then we have the league year starting. I mean, it's crazy.
So Matthew Stafford's teams that we've seen so far of interest, not maybe him, but them, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Giants, Raiders, woofed up.
Yeah, I mean, talk about like a bad grouping of teams, right? And now, Pittsburgh, I think, is good, obviously. They got a good coach, but the other three?
I mean, you're not going to Cleveland. The Giants, I mean, I could see them with, like, I mean, it depends on what they have to give up for that. But
if the Giants are willing to offer up the third pick in the draft for Matthew Stafford and sign him to that $50 million deal, he's going to New York, right? Mm. I think if you're the Rams, let me ask you guys this, and I don't know how you would look at this, but if you're the Rams and you were offered the third pick overall for Matthew Stafford, or you were offered a second and third round pick overall, a second round pick this year and a third round pick next year, Which move would you make if you're the Rams? I'm taking number three overall.
Yeah.
100%.
I don't want to pick this year in the second round and wait until the next year in the third round.
Right. And you don't need a quarterback, technically, if you're the Rams. You're getting rid of this guy. Obviously, you have Aaron Rodgers to backfill.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could literally draft anybody at number three overall.
My question that maybe I should have asked earlier, if they're going to trade Matthew Stafford, the Rams are, who's going to play quarterback?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is the hot rumor going to L.A. They like that pairing with him and Sean McVay, and I think it would be a great pairing because I do believe that it's one of the few quarterbacks that are quarterback coaches that Aaron Rodgers would have some respect for.
A guy that's like 10 years younger than he is?
Won a Super Bowl, has been fantastic, could retire and walk away right now, may go down as the greatest Rams coach ever. You know, not that there's a whole huge body of work for Rams coaches, but I think he's the guy that Aaron Rodgers would totally respond to and respect. I think he would do that with Pete Carroll as well. I don't know that there's many more right now.
Well, Matt LaFleur runs a lot of similar stuff. Like,
well, he ain't going back to Green Bay.
Well, I'm saying, but yeah. to your Sean McVay point, runs a lot of similar stuff. He would like that offensive system there.
Yeah. And he's a California kid. Go home, finish out your last couple of years and do that. Cleveland's in a bad way. I don't know if you saw the story yesterday. Their GM is trying to convince Myles Garrett they're moving on from Deshaun Watson, but like can't say it publicly, you know, because of everything that's involved.
Everybody knows.
I know, but like they're like going overboard trying to convince Myles Garrett, hey, we're getting rid of this guy. Please stay. Mm. And Myles Garrett's like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I believe when I see it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, that's why everybody was saying, because I believe the last game of the year, Baltimore was a 21-point favorite. And everyone's like, how is that spread that high? I mean, it's a division game. I get it. And Browns are beat up and Baltimore's awesome and they have to win. And they were saying that it was basically like a protest game by the players. Like, we just don't care because you have this idiot as our quarterback.
Oh, really? I didn't see that story. That's a great story. I love it. I'm in.
And they were just like, because I was watching like, I think it was like a pregame show of like betting and stuff like that, like fantasy on like one of those weird like 310 channels. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. And it was like, they were asking like, why is the spread 21? And they're like, well, here's why. There's an underlying story that says that basically Cleveland is letting ownership know, like, as long as you're going to keep trotting this guy out here, we're not going to do it because he's just not an NFL quarterback. He's not quarterbacking the league. Get out of here. Go away.
And nobody wants this guy around.
Take your money
either,
and disappear. You know? Go to Firefest.
Yeah, go dissipate in Firefest.
There's
also some
talk that the Vikings could be interested in Matthew Stafford as well. I saw that on The Herd yesterday. That's where
really?
Yep. That's why I was like, did you steal it?
Ian Colin, man.
Didn't he fall for a fake tweet, though, about that yesterday or something?
No, it was on something different.
Oh, it was? Okay.
That was NBA Centel said that no, Dallas is not letting people in wearing Luka jerseys.
Yeah, he fell
And he
for
said
it.
That. Yeah.
He's like, they're not letting anybody in Dallas wear Luka jerseys. Hmm? Huh?
It's like, that's not true.
I mean,
J-Mac with the news. That guy sucks. Dude, J-Mac sucks.
Oh, that guy's terrible.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's dude, like the bit, him sucking, right?
I don't think it's a bit.
I don't know. No. I know he's like an extreme New York guy, but like him and hating on, like, I don't know. Nick Wright calls me all the time and he works for the same network. I'm like, damn, dude. Like, because he's a New York guy. He's like prized on the success of other teams over Kansas City. And I'm like, all right, dude. Like, what? At least back something up. Yeah. He like prized on people to be better than the Chiefs. Like, he was happy when the Eagles won. Like, you're a New York guy and you're happy
not
Philadelphia
one, not won. One real New Yorker is ever happy when Philadelphia does something. It would be like us being happy if St. Louis did something.
It was like if you were happy that Peyton won a Super Bowl with Denver. I'm like, I don't give a rip.
No, who cares?
Yeah. And then there's Cam Ward. And you think Cam Ward could be the guy?
I think out of the quarterbacks that are in the first round, I think he is easily my favorite.
Well, I mean, that's not saying a lot, you know.
And I do really like him. I think he could be a franchise quarterback. I think he's got the skills to do it. I think he's easily the most physically gifted. Not a lot of big quarterbacks, by the way. The measurements are the only thing that from the...
How big are his hands?
Who cares? How big is Patrick Mahomes, right? Like
6'3", And they list Cam Ward at 6'2". People are saying he's probably 6'1", 6'. They list Shedeur Sanders at 6'1". He could be 5'11", 6'. So we'll see how the heights work out. But I think Cam Ward's fast. I think he's strong.
We saw Shedeur with the naked eye. Like, we saw him at Radio Row.
Yeah, you
he's
think he's
6'1".
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what I thought, too.
I don't think he's not 5'11". I'm 5'11 and a half or something.
I also saw Travis Hunter, and I thought he was in middle school.
Tiny.
I was like, this guy's small.
Tiny.
He's playing corner in the NFL,
dude. Yes. but, yeah, I just think he's to go along with the physical traits that I think he attains, he is by far the most confident. I think it was really telling. Maybe we can play the audio later, but him and Shador had a video come out. They were working together out on the field or whatever, but all of Shador's antics about, yeah, I play for Gatorade, all this stuff, and Cam Ward's like, yeah, football pays me. Like, all this stuff about being overly confident, you could read it as arrogance, which I think Shador leans that way, but I see in Cam Ward, I just see, like, I am that dude, and confidence. And it carries that way on the field, too.
Does Cam Ward get sacked a lot?
No, he's like mobile, and like he's kind of like, if you watched Miami football this last year, their defense was atrocious and their games were always like 75 to 68. And Cam Ward was that guy that was just like running around, finding a guy, would like heave it down the field.
He'd
throw 4 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, but throw for like 497 yards.
Mahomes, basically, in college. I hate to use that comparison because I'm not saying he's the next Mahomes, but that's kind of what
we just had this
like,
conversation yesterday listening to Matt Painter's audio. Stop comparing him to other athletes.
But now he's coming to the NFL, right?
And yeah.
So
yeah.
People are talking about being number one.
If you don't want to give him a player comp, he is a gunslinging, anxiety type watching quarterback now.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So he's your favorite in the draft. You said he doesn't get sacked a lot. The reason I asked, Shador Sanders gets sacked a lot.
He does.
You know? And I was just watching a clip from Howard Cosell on with our guy Ross Tucker on his podcast. Mm. And he said that
Howard Cosell,
guys who normally get sacked in college a lot get sacked in the NFL a lot. He called it the kind of the Caleb Williams effect, right? Caleb gets sacked a lot. And he was kind of comparing Shador Sanders to that guy. And so I look at that comparison. The sack thing bothers me. If you get sacked a lot in the college level, he says you're going to get sacked a lot in the pros. If you're a quarterback in the NFL, you can't be getting sacked a lot. Those just kill your team. That kills everything. Watch the body language in Chicago when Caleb Williams gets sacked. It kills everything, right? So I don't want a quarterback that gets sacked a lot in college because that's already who he is. So based on that alone, I guess Cam Ward will be up. I'll have to watch more video, whatever plays, highlights, whatever you want to call them, of Cam Ward to kind of feel, you know, kind of where I am. But somebody said the Giants could trade up to 1 to get Cam Ward.
Yeah, I would love that.
You know, so who knows? We'll see how it all kind of unfolds. But that's the problem. There's not anybody out there that is a legitimate fixer right now for any team in the NFL.
Which is fun. The draft will start at 1. Usually the draft starts at like 3 or 4.
Yeah,
you know?
But
the draft's starting at number 1. We don't know who's going.
And we don't know what Tennessee's going to do with that pick.
Yeah, if they're even going to pick.
If they're going to pick. That's what I'm saying.
But exactly.
There may be a big-time trade at the top of the draft on draft day.
Yeah, that night. Yes.
And there's also going to be a quarterback you can go get out of Dallas named Trey Lance if you want to start a franchise.
Oh, my God. Okay. Dallas yesterday, the more that they talk, I mean, Stephen Jones yesterday, we're going to draft a mid-round. Why? Why waste a mid-round pick on a quarterback? That's why teams suck.
Well, you know.
And then he also said yesterday something about we're going to be very selective in free agency. Mm-hmm. Translation, you're not doing anything in free agency.
That's right. Coming back on the other side, we'll do a new thing where we play one word to describe what we talk about. One word, 913-586-7965. I'll give you a hint. The first thing we're going to talk about, one word, describe Jack Caglione. 913-586-7965. More to come on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports, Kansas City Royals, Kansas City Chiefs, K-State Athletics, all of the above. Royals are still undefeated in spring. 1-1 tie yesterday. Kevin Biggio, home run, only RBI. We do have a new thing that we want to try here during the baseball season. We call it one word. We'll bring a name up.
Bob Marley. One word.
I was jamming to him yesterday.
To Bob?
This weekend, yeah.
Which one?
Yesterday
better
or the
than
weekend?
Breakfast or Brett Veachtown?
No, but the actual Marley.
Oh, he said Bob. I just assumed.
Do you know how Bob Marley died?
I do.
Yeah, brutal.
Brutal.
I don't think I know how Bob Marley.
Really?
Yeah.
So Rastafarians, his religion, do not believe in any sort of anything done to the body.
Oh, that's right. Medical. Yeah. Like
he was a soccer player his whole life. So he got toe cancer somehow developed through being a soccer player. I don't know how, whatever.
Right.
And of course, no surgery, no tattoos, no nothing, and just let it go. Yeah. And it got all the way to him and killed him.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's like dumb.
Yeah.
It is
dumb.
Yeah. LeVar Ball cut his foot off.
Right.
Bob Marley could have cut his toe off. We'd have had, by the way, No Woman, No Cry, greatest Bob Marley song. One of the top 5 best guitar solos of all time, in my opinion.
Oh, okay. I'll have to listen it again just for that.
Oh, yeah.
For the solo.
It's great. Cornmeal porridge. But no, one word. That's what we want to do here. So And Jack Caglione. What is one word that comes to your mind, Mr. Fasco, when it comes to Jack Caglione?
Exciting.
Okay. Mac?
I'd go future.
Ooh.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the future of this franchise could be on Jack.
Mine is massive.
I will disagree with you on that in a second.
Okay, I like it.
Okay.
I think my one word to describe Jack Caglione is massive because it's vague. That's the whole point of this. One word, it can be vague, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Somebody in the text line said their one word is patience and then horny. So love that. But no, like, I love the massive word. I love the future word. I love the patience word. I like all of that because you think of massive and you think of what he could be. He could be a massive addition to your lineup. He is a massive human being. Vern said yesterday that he swallowed his hand when he shook it. He goes, that's hardly ever happened to me, if ever, in my life. So I think that's all great.
Vern out here bragging like that, man.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know how that's, I mean, or Vern has really small hands. What is he, Alex Smith? So, I mean, but like, you know, there is hope. And like, there is that sort of thing. And somebody says, you know, position. Yeah, Vern said yesterday he's coming for Vinny Pasquantino's job, or he's going to be a DH. And then they'll sprinkle in if they need to see if he needs to, you know, experiment in the outfield. But that's the thing. A lot of people say Jack Caglione, one word, stud. One word, gorgeous. One word, hog. So, I mean, maybe that's an acronym, but, I mean, there is that excitement for a player that we've yet to see take a, you know, pitch in the major leagues on the major league show level, and I think they're all warranted to have those words.
And the cool thing about it is, where I kind of disagree with Mac, what did you say, Mac, future. About the future of this team? I think it's great that he doesn't have to be the future of this team, because for so many years on this organizational doorstep, we've had maybe one guy that we've all wrapped our arms around. So this is going to be the future. Mm. This is going to be the guy. How many guys have we done that with over the years, right? A lot, because there was nobody else out there. We're in an era now of Royals baseball that is starting to become, in my opinion, as long as this continues to move in the right direction, very similar to what the Chiefs are, where you're not drafting somebody who has to come in and save your franchise. You're drafting somebody that you can add in to continue to make your franchise good and continue this success train moving forward. And that's why I look at Jack Caglione different than I looked at maybe Salvi or Moose or Haas or some of these other guys, Bobby Witt Jr., Alex Gordon, Jermaine Dye, Johnny Damon. Like, a lot of these guys that came up were going to save the franchise, and that was the guy we were all counting on. Now, all of a sudden, you got a roster that where Jack Caglione doesn't have to be pressurized to save the franchise. He can just come up and be a part of the franchise. And because of that, I think his transition is going to be a lot better into the big leagues than maybe anybody else we've seen come before him, because we're not looking at him to save the franchise. We're just looking at him to be a piece to a contender that has established success.
People on the text line, we have one that says his name is Jackie Moons because all he does is hit moonshots.
I like that.
Solid. Someone says their one word would be stud. Another one says money. He going to get a lot of that eventually in his future. And then somebody says gator. So there you go, Mac. That's your only hatred against him. He's a Florida gator. Somebody from the 913 says orgasmic. And then someone asks, how far do you think he hits a golf ball? I don't know if he has a golf swing. But I bet he hits it very far if he connects it. I mean, you've seen the Mike Trout video of him at Topgolf.
Wow, that is great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's before AI, so you know that's real, Daddy. But no, I think, so I was kind of talking to you guys the other day, is do you think there's a chance that Caglione and Bobby Witt Jr. could be the next Moose and Haas?
Yeah, I think there's that possibility, but I don't want to push that right now and say that.
Yeah,
you know?
And I'm not comping that. I'm just saying, like, could they have that relationship? Because we heard the audio the other day of Bobby Witt Jr. talking about, you know, Caglione being, like, that guy and, like, what he expects. And then you hear Caglione talk about Bobby Witt Jr. He's like, yeah, it's cool to, like, you know, see Bobby in, you know, real life do his thing and then try to pick his brain.
It's to me, it has the possibility to actually be better than Moose and Haas.
Kelsey and Mahomes?
I think we're a little far away from anything being that quite now. You know, like, peanut butter and chocolate isn't even Kelsey and Mahomes. I love peanut butter and chocolate, right? So I look at Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelsey, just they're over here for now. Okay. They're seated at the private table in the back of Jasper's, right? Everybody else is kind of in the main dining room. And I think they have an opportunity. Are you talking about like relationship, or are you talking about relationship on the field? Because off the field's going to be tough.
Because they're similar in age.
Yeah, but it's going to be tough. That Moose Haas thing was, you know, that was pretty dynamic that those two had and still do today. I mean, they're still doing the podcast and all that kind of stuff. So they came up together and they had the years of Pocatello, Idaho and all the other you know, outposts of baseball of where they played together. I think that they have an opportunity to be better from an on-field standpoint. And the reason I say that is because you have John Sherman as your owner now, not David Glass. We knew that Moose Haas thing was only going to be around for a hot minute because they weren't going to pay those guys, right? And so with Jack Caglione, if he shows that he's worthy of paying, obviously John Sherman and company are going to pay Jack Caglione. They've shown that. They've laid out that precedent. We should all expect now when we have a young player that this organization is going to sign them and keep them here. They've done that with their best player in Bobby Witt Jr., and they've done that with their best pitcher, their, you know, their homegrown guy, quote unquote, in Cole Reagans, right? You signed your two guys to big time long term deals. John Sherman, right when he took over, Dayton signed Salvador Perez to that long term deal, right? Like, so you're signing guys that you believe are part of your organization moving forward. And so that's why I think from an on field standpoint, they have an opportunity to be more accomplished than Moose and Hosmer do, because I think they're going to have a long time together, because I do believe John's going to pay him.
Somebody in the text line says, I don't know if you can describe it in one word. I'm looking at the future with Bobby batting second and Jack hitting third. So futuristic would be your one word.
Yeah, futuristic is a good word, yeah.
Spicy meatball is from the 815. And then you have, you know, the negative Nancy's, small market, LOL, going to have these two guys play two seasons together and have to trade one. No, you don't.
No, you don't. Like, see, if that's your attitude right now, like, you have not been paying attention to what this team is doing.
Yeah, I mean, they just extended Cole Reagans. They brought back Michael Wacha. They paid Seth Lugo and paid Bobby Witt Jr. $177 million and 7-7-7-7-7 afterwards. So, like, you have an owner that's, like, proven to you, I don't know how much more you need. But you have an owner right now that's proven to you that he wants the team to be great. They want this team to be good. And also, you have 5 years with Caglione. So, like, try to be positive with this whole situation.
Yeah, like, I don't understand the negativity that anybody has this morning towards Kansas City sports. I really don't, right? Mm. Your team is a Super Bowl team, and your baseball team is a playoff team. There were years that I've done radio in this town where we were hoping we'd get two wins in a football season and be relevant till April 15th. And now we arguably have the best football operation on planet Earth and a pretty damn good baseball operation with an owner that's willing to spend money.
And you're the third best baseball player in baseball.
In baseball, the best football player, you know, potentially all time. One of the top baseball players in the game
and
today.
And the only two people he's behind is probably the greatest baseball player to ever play the sport.
Right.
And the second guy has hit 61 home runs in a season.
Yeah, in the last, like, 2 years. You know, like the Aaron Judge has been pretty good, right? And so to wake up and have those negative thoughts, to me, is a very obtuse way of looking at it right now. And as I said, I'm a big history buff, right? I study history. I read about history. I watch historical things all the time. I know a lot about history. But what I know about history in no way is impacting what we're witnessing right now with the Royals and the Chiefs. If you are still thinking that the Royals are the same old operation, then you've been asleep for the last couple of years and you haven't seen what John Sherman and this organization have done. They've been very transactional. They've spent money. They're locking up their young players. Like, John Sherman is legitimately doing everything that we wished for 25 years David Glass would do. He's doing stuff that Ewing Kauffman did. We've got Bobby Witt locked up for a generation, guys. That's unbelievable. They're spending money on Cole Reagans. They're going out into the free agent market and making signings to spend money to bring players in here. I mean, when John took over this team, one of the edicts that he gave Dayton Moore was go spend money this offseason so the fans know. Now, there wasn't a lot to spend on. It was COVID and all that kind of stuff. But John and his group are not adverse to spending. They're getting ready to build a new stadium. They're getting ready to spend a lot of money to acquire land. They're getting ready to invest big time in this team even more than they already have. So I just don't appreciate when people come into my kitchen and say they're going to be gone in 2 or 3 years, because that's not what John Sherman is about. I don't know what more he needs to do to show you that this is not David Glass.
I thought it was impressive when you talk about, I think that would be another word of mine. One word to describe Jack Caglione would be impressive. This is what Vern had to say when he was talking about what the coaches see in him.
Listen, it's his first big league clubhouse. The guy's been around the game long enough. He's not going to come in there and start kicking over garbage cans and telling everybody to shut up and listen to what I have to say. But listen, they gave him number 14 in his first big league camp. And, you know, that Carter Jensen, another guy that hit a home run yesterday, his jersey number's in the 70s. Blake Mitchell's jersey number's in the 70s. They're not expecting Jack Caglione to be wearing those minor league uniforms for long, and it certainly looks to me as if he's well-equipped to handle it. And, you know, credit to a guy like Vinny Pasquantino, who has really taken Jack under his wing and has shown him the ropes, not only at first base, but really throughout camp, on the backfields. You're seeing Vinny keep a watchful eye on Jack Caglione, which, you know, for a guy that's coming for his job, I think is pretty impressive.
So that was Vern talking about Caglione. And the two things that I think isn't kind of like I would say that stick out in my mind is that, one, they gave him the number 14. Carter Jensen, huge. Blake Mitchell, they have numbers in the 70s.
That does matter.
Which you can think that I'm being hyperbolical, but when your number is that high that you did not pick. Now, obviously, if you were like Otani and you're like, my number's 75, like Barry Zito wore 75. That was just, he was a weird surfer dude. Like Barry Zito is one of my favorites of all time. But like
Zito, Mulder, and Hudson, man. Mike, you talk about 1-2-3. God.
Yeah.
Sacramento A's had it going on back then.
They did. Billy Beane, baby. But like, that's the thing that's interesting about like Caglione, one, is that they gave him number 14, which means they expect him at some point to like have that hanging at, you know, one Kauffman Drive, right? Yeah. Like that's like where one Royal Drive, like that's where they plan on seeing him this year. So that gives me enough insight to know that there is a plan in the future of the near future to have him on this team. The second thing that Vern said that makes me kind of interested in this is that the coaches know that they have to be patient, and I know he's not going to make the opening day roster, because if he does, that means something catastrophic happened to Vinny Pasquantino, and I don't want that, no. And because I saw what this lineup did last year when Vinny Pasquantino was removed from it due to injury, it was not great. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is something also is that, like, these coaches, they have, to me, it's a lot like, and I don't want to, and again, please don't think that I'm doing this. I'm not comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, but I can only imagine what Nagy and Reed and all these guys' facial expressions were when they saw Mahomes as a rookie in his first time at training camp, when they knew for a fact it was Alex Smith's job, that he was not losing unless he obviously got a major injury that year, that Mahomes was going to be the backup the whole time. But I bet when they saw him throw the ball and do drills, they were like, oh my God, keep it together, keep it together, keep it together. But you know, we're going to be pretty good. And I think that's what's going on with Cotrero and all these guys that are in the system with the Royals, that they're like looking at him like, we might have something here, but we've got to make sure we polish it, take care of it, and then when it's ready, we can sit back and be like, see,
well, then you were right. In that line of thinking, which I love, you don't bring Caglione up at all this year, then. No matter what you're doing, no matter what you're feeling, no matter how you're looking at it, you stay convicted like Andy Reid did with Patrick Mahomes. You know how difficult it must have been at some point for Andy Reid or Matt Nagy or even Travis Kelce at some point to go, can we play this kid, you know, with what he's doing? And they stayed convicted to it, and they did not rush him, and they played him at the end of the year when it, you know, in a game, obviously, that didn't matter. They gave him that opportunity, and the playoffs started. It was Alex Smith's deal, and then when it was over, and it was Patrick Mahomes' turn to take over. I think that's kind of the way I would love to see him, you know, play it with Jack Caglione. Like, if they don't have to bring Jack Caglione up this year, that means the team is doing some really good things. Nobody's getting injured. They're in a spot where we're all really excited about what's going on, you know, with this baseball team. So I think right now the best thing would be to kind of have that Patrick Mahomes approach. And again, with John being the big-time Chiefs fan that he is, he understands how things have worked over there at Arrowhead. Maybe he has that conversation with Q and, you know, the folks over there at Royal Stadium at the Surprise Complex and say, hey, guys, you know what? The Chiefs waited on Mahomes. It's no big deal. We got ourselves a really good team right now. We don't need him to be here, barring catastrophic injury. Let's just wait a year and make sure he is 100% ready to come up to the big league level. There is absolutely no harm in doing that.
I would definitely bring him up if like MJ or Renfro are absolutely just piss poor.
And
there's
and that happens. And we don't want that to happen.
I don't
right?
want that. But I mean, I don't have belief that MJ Melendez is going to figure it out in year four.
I don't either.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, and again, show me state, you know, prove it to me that you can play. Cause like, I'm tired of every year being like, oh, his elbow's more in, his knee's not hitching as much. Like, you dress the part, be the part.
Right.
You know, if you merit the reaction, then go do it. Like in the minor leagues, you were planking home runs left and right. And then you get to the big leagues and it's like, you know, it's just, it hasn't clicked yet.
Right.
So, I mean, like if that's the case, like, because I mean, again, this team had, they did make improvements. They did do things differently. They drafted Caglione. They brought back Waka. They extended Reagans. They got Jonathan India. They have a leadoff hitter. You got your leadoff position fixed. You know you're 2 through 5. If you have nothing after that because they consistently are just getting out, you have to do something different. And if that something different is bringing up a young kid to light a fire in your veteran ass, then that's what has to happen.
Well, and maybe it will light a fire because, like I told you, man, I like from people not related to the Royals at all, heard good things this winter about MJ. Like when somebody calls you and goes, man, this MJ is really not going to cover. I know it's batting practice and this is people who work in baseball. So I'm excited to see what he can do. MJ has got a lot of expectation going into this season. And if he doesn't realize those expectations, then see you later. We'll move on and find somebody who will realize those expectations. But I'm anxious to see if MJ finally gets to that point where, you know, it's poop or get off the pot time for him, right? And some guys need that moment. Some people need that moment in life. Like some people work better when the deadline's 5 minutes away than when it's 5 days away, right?
Yeah.
I feel like MJ, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for the first month or so of the season. Let's see where you are, man. No yeah. slow starts. I'm not factoring, oh, it's cold, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Get out there and play your ass off because he needs to do that because there may be a time where they just go, all right, you're gone. Caglione, you're up.
And so I do want to bring this up because there's two texts that one I completely disagree with and one I totally agree with. From the 913, he's played 4 years of college baseball and was the best player in the NCAA all 4 years. He doesn't need to wait. Bring him up. This isn't football. It's baseball. Somebody then says it's like Jackson Holliday situation from last year. You're on a winning team, but you don't rush to one to bring him up. It's not Jackson Holliday, okay? It's not. His dad was not a major all-star baseball player, and Jack Caglione is not coming out of his senior year in high school at the age of 19. Jackson Holliday is and was the number one prospect in baseball. Merits pressure. He was 19 years old, never played against college kids. Came up way too fast because he was so young. Caglione went to college, played baseball, did his thing, has dealt with the SEC, knows a little bit of what the
SEC may be better baseball than minor league baseball. And I'm not saying that flippantly. Like that, I've heard from people like the SEC is probably your double. It's probably double A baseball.
And the thing that's interesting is that like he does have that experience, right? Like he has that. Like he's done that. And you look at a guy like Michael Penix Jr., right? Came out of college a little bit older. Bo Nix is a good example.
Yeah.
Bo Nix was a rookie, but he was much older than the average rookie.
He's older than his coach.
And actually figured it out quicker than most people thought. So, like, I don't believe in the whole, like, we need to let him wait. It might shock him because he's in the big leagues. Yes, it's going to be impressive when he steps on the field at Kauffman Stadium and sees that there's three different levels in the stadium.
Who hasn't been impressed by that, right?
That's
their first at bat.
Yeah, and, like, the thing is like, you're not asking him to go out there and be the face of your franchise like you were for Jackson Holliday. Or maybe you think that that's the other two guys that are already on there. But I would think that a lot of people in Baltimore are like, this is the future. Bobby Witt is that guy. Bobby Witt is going to take a lot of that stuff and take it away from Caglione. He will have a huge media day, and there will be a ton of people there when he makes his debut, but it ain't going to be like Bobby. Because Bobby was the future. And Bobby can also teach Caglione what it's like to have that sort of pressure where you're this guy. He's like, here's what you need to do. Just kind of, you know, do this, handle it this way. You're going to have your ups. You're going to have your downs. But the thing is, you don't have to worry about being the future, buddy. I am. I am the team. Trust me. It's okay. Just be you, and everything should follow suit.
Well, and that's the beautiful way to do it, and that's what you want. And it's not something we've been able to have here in Kansas City from a baseball standpoint, where guys are able to come up and just kind of fit in. And now we have that opportunity. They don't have to come up and save the franchise. And there's nothing worse than putting that kind of pressure on one individual player in either sport, football or baseball, hell, basketball. Like, look at Philadelphia right now. Like, Joel Embiid was supposed to save that franchise. That dude's probably done for his career. I mean,
and that's like, injury and like right. stuff that he's done.
Correct. I mean, yeah. but I mean, like, that's why you can't put all your eggs into one basket and say, this is the guy that's going to save the franchise. Cause it just is. It's not fair.
Because
first of all,
that
and second
guy already
of all,
did it.
And we've got our franchise yeah. has been saved.
Right.
Everybody that comes in now is just making it better.
Yeah. You're just a part of it.
There's no pressure on these guys anymore.
Right. You going to get a Caglione jersey or a Bobby Witt Jr.?
I'm going to get a Witt Jr. jersey if I get a jersey.
I don't wear shirts in baseball. I do like the jersey, but
I also like the random things that we used to find at FanFest, like the Don Wakamatsu jerseys and the Raul Labonte jerseys. Like those I like.
Bob's going to come in here with a Rusty Kuntz jersey and in the summer ride his bike up to the Odyssey building.
The Rusty ones are expensive. You'd be surprised. Like the Rusty Kuntz ones are not on the $25 rack. That's where you find like your Don Wakamatsus, your Gene Watson jerseys, your, you know, Raul Labonte's jerseys. Yes. All of those are on the clearance rack.
From the 913, I'm late, but my one word for Jack is problem. Coming up on the other side.
Problem for baseball?
No, he's going to be a problem.
Number 50. Number 50. We'll talk about what that means on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
What a jam. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Bob, I feel like this strikes a bone more to you than Mac. New York is done in New York.
Good, it should be. When
they're
going to
do
a rotation
of five songs through Sinatra. I know you probably read the story.
Yeah, so, when I was a kid, you go to Yankee Stadium maybe once a year if you were lucky, right? Yeah. It was a big deal to go to a baseball game when I was a kid. I think for most people, it's a big deal to go to a baseball game. But when you're that kid, you get one, maybe two games
a year.
There's
this guy out in the outfield. His name's Lou Gehrig. Real good player. Right, here. Right. Say, hey, he's a good guy here.
As a kid, I was like, you want him to win, but you always want to win because you wanted to hear New York leaving Yankee Stadium. Because if they lost, they didn't play anything.
It was just quiet?
Yeah, with people yelling and, you know, screaming and things of that
nature. Sell the team!
Or maybe they played, like, sometimes they played a Liza Minnelli version of, New York, New York, which is like the when they play when they lost. But, like, the Yankees all of a sudden overturning, like, all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's amazing now. Everybody's kind of held on to Arrowhead for prosperity. The Yankees have allowed people to have beards and are getting rid of New York, New York. It's insane to think about.
I wonder what the five Sinatra songs are going to be.
Well, That's Life, I think, is the one they're playing, is from what a lot of people were saying after a loss, which makes a lot of sense.
Which,
right?
Now that movie reminds me of that song reminds me of Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay. All right.
Because of the Joker. Like, every time I see him, I'm just like, now I just think of him shooting Robert De Niro on set. I'm just like, that movie, man.
I mean, but That's Life, I think, is the perfect one after a loss. You're like, That's Life.
Strangers in the Night.
Strangers in the Night. Doobie, doobie, doo.
The Way You Look Tonight. My Way's got to be there.
My Way, such a great song.
Oh, it's great. This thing made me think of Fesco so bad. It says, I'm at the age where if you text me after 9 p.m., I'm not texting you back, or I am going to text you back at 4:36 a.m.
Oh, that's what I do. Yeah, I sent a couple of texts out this morning. Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's to my mother. So I fell the other day in the snow. Oh. You saw the stupid tweet, right?
Yeah.
I'm fine. I just slipped in. It's not a big deal. All of a sudden, like 10 o'clock at night, my youngest daughter comes into the room. Grandma's calling me to make sure dad's okay because nobody's answering their phones. Asleep!
Going to bed.
Because my mother is on X, so she monitors on X, I don't understand why you said this can of frozen juice was your childhood. Because it was.
R.I.P. to Joanne. Yep. Fabrics and Crafts Realtor. Joanne is going out of business and closing all of its stores.
When was the last time you were at a Joanne store?
I can tell you. Eighth grade, home ec, Miss Brown's class at Hall McCarter. We had to make pajama pants and a pillowcase.
Yeah, and you had to go to Joanne
Fabrics to get it because that's what she suggested. They had the whole like wall full of stuff. Everybody's done this before, right? When you were in school, did you have to make the...
I think they provided... I'm so old, they provided us with that stuff.
Oh, you had to pick your own design.
Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Like, I remember either that. Like A or B, red or blue. Here you go.
That's the last time. We had to learn how to sew.
Yeah.
And we had to sew our own pajama pants, which I think mine ripped... I was a fat ass. And then I think the pillowcase, I was like, this isn't comfortable. Send me back.
It's probably a hard, like I could feel
it. Just not great. So that was the last time. So RIP, Joanne and Hooters. What are we doing here, world?
Millennials.
Let's be honest. Did those stores really provide you anything that you needed?
Nope.
Like all these places that are closing, I'm like, I can't believe they still are open.
Yeah, seriously.
That's Life.
That is a great losing song, though. It really is.
Yeah. Well, That's Life. That's what I was thinking. Like,
all the people are pissed. I just spent $1,000 in this game. Dude, it's May. That's your fault. That's Life.
Yeah, That's Life.
I just want to make sure he's done talking before I interject.
Oh, Frank?
Yeah. No, Bob.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, text line.
Oh, are you cutting him off? Is that what they're saying?
Too much.
Oh,
you are?
Oh, wow.
Am I good? Am I okay?
I think this is an opening.
Well, I didn't know there was a problem.
I'm sorry.
We all got to be better at that.
And now, Kansas City has been ranked 50th in most fun cities in America.
I saw this list yesterday.
How do they do that?
I don't know. Wallet Hub or something. You know,
this is like
a
40. Oh, I'm sorry. This is like a 48th ranked city. This is like 31.
Yeah. So it's you know, Wallet Hub, I guess. And they tell you how they
Nerd
do
Wallet?
No, it's called Wallet Hub, right? And it's let's see. The site compared 182 cities, including the 150 most populated U.S. cities, plus at least two of the most populated cities in each state. Of course, three dimensions: entertainment and recreation, nightlife and parties, and cost. Next, the cities were evaluated according to 65 key metrics, which range from fitness centers per capita to movie cost to average open hours of breweries, blah, 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 blah. All come up with a list. Kansas City is 50 on this list. And so I ask you, the text line, and you, Mac, and Dusty, and myself, what could Kansas City do to move up on this list? What do we need to move up on this list to make it even more fun? Downtown baseball, I mean.
But where are we going to park?
Yeah. I think there are more. I was looking at it yesterday when I was at the J. I think there are more parking spots on the Sprint campus than there are at Kauffman Stadium in Arrowhead, because there's about six or seven parking garages of about 5,000 spots apiece. Anyway, so there's plenty of parking. But no, for me, it's actually happening, and it's the development of the riverfront. I've wanted that riverfront developed for so long. We had such wasted space down there. And then the current came in and they built the stadium, and you've got breweries and all kinds of stuff. And they're doing a great job by rebuilding, and not rebuilding, but just developing that riverfront. And I'm all about continuing to develop the smaller neighborhoods and make them better and better and better, because I think the smaller the small neighborhoods together, the continuity, make the city ultimately better. And so I love what's going on the riverfront. That's what I would do, is just continue that development in the core of the city, and continue to make the core of the city as strong as you possibly can.
Text line says public transportation.
I agree with that as well.
100%.
Yeah. And then the other text says we need a White Castle. Then we'll go to 70.
White Castle.
I would love another sports team.
Okay.
I don't care what it is. Just give me another sports team. NBA, NHL, WNBA. Give me another sports team. Give me another reason to kind of explore my fandom. I mean, now that I've dove into more NHL, that'd be fun. I would 100% have season tickets.
You got to see.
I would 100% do it.
You watch two hockey games,
yeah,
and you're like, I'm in on season tickets. I'm telling you.
I would be, because
yes.
It's
awesome. I love it. I love it.
Because I would do the same if we had an NBA team. I would have season tickets if we had an NBA team.
Oh,
100%.
Yeah. I'd switch my allegiance. I've been a Celtics fan since I was 9.
Chiefs, immediately be way too expensive. Royals, too many games. And NBA, I know there's 81 games in a season, so you're getting, what, 40 to 40
yeah,
games 40, at home?
41, yeah.
41
games. Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean,
still
it
a
is.
Lot.
I mean, 10 baseball games is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, when
four
you buy
Chiefs games is a lot.
Yeah. When you buy those, like, 20-game packages, like my buddy and his, what do you call those, parent, mother and father-in-law?
Yeah.
In-laws.
In-laws, yeah. I don't know.
It's a new term. Yes,
but yeah, they split a 20-game package. So he gets 10. They get 10. He's like, oh, man, dude, 10's still a lot.
10's a lot. It's two a month.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you have kids and things and everybody's got stuff going on, it's like, when am I going to get out there? For us now, I know how busy we are. Royals games are like that morning. Nobody's got anything going on. Let's go to the game tonight, or let's go to the game this afternoon, or whatever the case may be. Like, that's kind of how it is for us. I think it would be so hard to have season tickets at this point of my life for baseball, for hockey, for football, because they're just, or for basketball, because there's so much inventory. Football is manageable. We only do a half season. We split with our friend, you know, and we were kind of going through it again yesterday because already, you know, payments are already due for next year for those tickets. I'm like, four games is a lot. It is a lot to go to. And so I don't know how, like, if you have an 81-game pack for baseball, do people still have a full 81-game season and go to every game?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know my friend Rob, who sits behind home plate right there, has that. But he doesn't even go to every game. But he's a diehard. He was going to every game in 02.
I like this. For me, I would enjoy a stronger music scene. It's kind of died in the last 10 years. I mean, COVID killed it for a little bit.
Yeah,
but, I mean, you still have, like, Grinders. I think you have the Record Bar. You have the Midland. You have Starlight does good stuff.
Grinders is quietly really good for Axe, man. Look at their calendar and see what they got coming up.
Yeah, I went and saw Bleachers there last year. It was fantastic. Like, it was an amazing show.
It's a great
venue.
And then
ate at the restaurant, walked right out the back door, and then boom, I was there.
I mean, it's really a great spot.
Ran into Blair there, got a signed shirt from Jack Antonoff because Blair's the man. But yeah, I mean, I would like that, like turn into a little bit of an Austin.
Yeah. Well, it's headed that way. I mean, you got Taylor Swift and Rihanna living here, and we're the next up and coming city in the country. People are tired of California. People have out.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Priced themselves from Austin, and so now people are coming here to Kansas City. Should they come to Kansas? Yeah, hell yeah. Everybody's moving here now. And so is it sad that I thought, like, if Travis retires, we lose a little bit of our cool factor? Like, that was one of my biggest
things. Something tells me they're not going anywhere after football season.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. But still, I'm like, if Travis retires, do we lose our cool factor? So what would you do to move Kansas City on that fun city list? How would you rank it higher? What would you add to Kansas City?
913-586-7965. We'll get into more of that, obviously, as your answers come in. But coming up on the other side, who are you taking when it comes to odds in college basketball? The Tigers play tonight to rebound, no pun intended, from their loss to Arkansas. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.